Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
On ESPN 106.7.
And online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello and welcome, and it is the Monday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. First ballot Hall of Famer in my personal...
Third or fourth.
No,
or
maybe, no way. Maybe, no way. No way. You're not one of these... And I mean, look, a Hall of Famer is a Hall of Famer. You're still a Hall of Famer if you get it on the 10th ballot or the 15th. Right? Like, there's no special designation, even though I know I just said first ballot Hall of Famer, as though there is a special designation for people who get in on the first try. But if a Drive Hall of Fame existed, an Auburn beat writer Hall of Fame existed, Brian, I would not hesitate to vote you in on the first ballot. So let me just say,
based on longevity only. But thank
oh no way, you're not some, you didn't just cobble together stats for 30 years. No, you were leading the league in important categories throughout the run, and that's why it's great to have you in here. Bill is, and I'm a little embarrassed about this, Drew. Bill is at a concert, and I have forgotten who Bill is seeing tonight, which is sort of, maybe he's listening. Do you remember? Yeah, don't look at me like I'm supposed to know that.
I'm saying I'm with you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you didn't know either. But I think he's maybe said it on the air, which makes it even more embarrassing that I can't remember off the top of my head. He's seen some really cool bands since his retirement, this world tour that Bill is on. He saw Heart. He saw the Rolling Stones. He recently saw Foreigner. He was going to see... And this is a bummer. He was going to see Aerosmith in October before Aerosmith canceled all of their remaining concert dates and permanently announced their retirement from touring because of injuries to Steven Tyler's voice. But it's and that's too bad because, you know, Aerosmith's been in the game a while and Bill had never gotten to see them live. They're a fairly legendary live band for what they can do, but. But no, Bill's at another concert tonight. He'll give us a full report tomorrow. But you know, Bill's enjoying the fact that on the first day of classes, he doesn't need to have his phone on.
Oh, this was a terrible day for him back in the day.
This was a stressful day for administration in our department on campus. Although things seem to be. Things seem to run fairly smoothly. You know, the speed bump or two.
Are you saying they run smoothly without Bill there?
No.
That's what
I'm saying.
Like
Bill,
you're saying.
I'm saying Bill built an infrastructure.
Okay. All right.
That
there,
Bill built a mechanism.
Okay.
Where he can get out of the captain's chair and someone else can ascend into that seat.
The number two.
And anyone else can step in. Not necessarily anybody else, but a qualified individual can step into that seat and the thing will still go. You know, it'll remain on course. It'll remain functional. And that's a testament to the folks, you know, the architects of that department on campus. But it was and you're also one of the reasons, and that's not going to change no matter who's in charge, is that you're onboarding a lot of new employees the first week or so, and introducing a lot of people to new equipment and new technologies. And that's that's going to go as smoothly as possible, but there could be mistakes and there could be bumps along the way, and so that's always something to absorb the first week. But welcome back, students. I would say both pedestrians and drivers, just be mindful. Be aware of. I don't know if I should say this on the air in case my insurance folks are listening. A fella bumped into me while I was at a red light.
Uh-oh.
about 10 minutes ago. No cosmetic, you know, just idling and, you know, scoots up a little bit, makes too much contact. I look, you know,
you're
wave
like
it
a
off.
Target, aren't you?
It's apparently I'm a magnet for these things at the moment. But just be mindful, be aware. You know, maybe pet peeve of mine, maybe only look at the phone at really important, crucial moments, or not at all. Maybe it's better advice while you're driving.
When you may, or maybe when you're crossing the street at a crosswalk, you know, you might want to be off the phone.
Eye contact with a driver or two has always been sort of a good, has been a good policy. Making sure you're not crossing in front of a green light, which I saw so many times this weekend. Right, the passenger who's like, or the pedestrian who's like, oh, you know what, I've got the right of way because there's a crosswalk there. And it's like there's a crosswalk, but it's underneath a green light and cars are driving at you at a rapid speed and there's a don't walk sign. Anyways, just, you know, be mindful and be aware. But it's great to have folks back. Auburn was full of life and energy this weekend, and I'm sure that's going to be the case, the next couple of weeks. I mean, it's one weekend until there's 1 weekend, and then there's a football game at the at the end of the month. Just 12 more days. Yeah. There's high school football this weekend. They're bringing that back on Wings 94.3, so you're not going to want to miss Jacob on the call for Auburn High School. And then we're going to talk to the coordinators this week. Going to see Wednesday. We see a little bit of practice. Isn't that the case?
Not that I know.
Maybe game week we might get a viewing window. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But there is we're going to talk to the coordinators this week, and as our access continues with Auburn University football, and we are just days away from the first game of the season, and things are the off season, which, you know, felt like it was coming to an end back at Media Days a month ago. I mean, all we've done since then is get to watch quite a bit of practice, talk to virtually everyone on the Auburn roster, including every coach. And now we're just a couple of days away from the first game of the year. So, Brian Matthews, thanks for joining us. And how about this? I'd be curious to know, like, sort of your big headlines or your big, if you had to boil down or summarize the off season and especially fall camp for Auburn, what were your main takeaways from what we've gathered these last couple of weeks with the amount of access, players who have consistently made headlines, storylines that you're following, what have you?
I would say that the biggest news in the offseason for Auburn football is the wide receiver room. It's gone from really bad or below average, however you want to label it, not good, to, in my opinion, it's going to be one of the best in the SEC. I know that's saying a whole lot, like I'm stepping out on a limb a little bit there, but I think this is a special group. I think those freshmen are special. I think they did a great job getting guys like Kendre Lambert-Smith and Rob Lewis and Sam Jackson in as transfers. I just think that room has been transformed. So to me, that's the biggest news from the football team in the offseason. We'll see in some other areas how it works out. You know, secondary a little thin, but they got some young guys stepping up. Offensive line may be in a bit of transition, possibly, from talking to folks in the last few days.
That, to me, I'm glad you mentioned the offensive line because that's something since Thursday. And it occurred to me earlier in the week. I hadn't really brought it up until we were talking with Ferguson on Thursday's episode of The Drive, and it was a bigger part of the Observer podcast we recorded last week. But you know, I think it's very easy to pin all of the problems with the Auburn passing game last year on Peyton Thorne and the receivers and Philip Montgomery. And I think that ignores that, you know, there were some concerning pass protection numbers last year, and there were some moments where it felt like, you know, whatever Auburn was attempting on offense wasn't going to work because tackle was a vulnerability against the best teams on Auburn's schedule. And I'm optimistic that a full offseason as the starter for both Percy Lewis and Tutal Miller can be a, like, I'm optimistic that Auburn can get better production out of both of them than either of them have shown thus far in their careers. But that to me is still a pretty serious question mark on a team with, you know, that's tried to make some other upgrades this offseason.
Well, I would say this. I would say there are three players that, and basically it's been the same starting five since the spring, right? It's been Percy, Dylan Wade, Connor Liu, Jeremiah Wright, Isaiah Miller from day one of spring to the last practice we were able to attend. However,
felt like Jeremiah was competing a little bit the first couple of weeks of spring.
Sure.
Maybe, but he's had a pretty solid hold on that that first team job for most of this offseason too.
I think there's a possibility that could be shaken up over the next 2 weeks and maybe over the next 5 weeks as we get into the early part of the season. There are three players, I think, to keep a close eye on. Tyler Johnson at left tackle. He's a redshirt freshman. We've heard a lot about him. Came here as a guy who just needed to get bigger and stronger, has done that. Started out camp a little injured, has come back now, is doing very, very well over there.
Can I try to guess the other two?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm thinking it's Braden Joyner and Tate Johnson.
Well, I would say Braden Joyner, and I would say a player that we haven't really talked maybe about hardly at all.
Senda?
Nope.
Is it the freshman? Is it
Ronan Chambers?
Oh, Ronan Chambers, the other tackle. Yeah,
is the transfer from Akron, a late addition, has performed, I think, better than they expected. I think they brought him in for depth purposes, but I think he's a guy that could potentially push. And I think Braden Joyner, back to him, I think he's one of the best stories on this team.
I'd be surprised because they like Tyler so much. I feel like something would need to happen to one of the three tackles. I get the sense for Ronan Chambers to step into a larger role. But you're right. They do seem to like Ronan Chambers a lot. And I do want you to talk about Braden Joyner and why he would be on that list as well.
Right. Well, Braden has had an incredible offseason. In fact, he's the most improved player on this team, in my opinion, and one of the most improved players I've seen in a long time. He came in on a tough time. I believe he was part of the class that was committed to Brian Harsin, right, when Harsin was fired. And I guess Auburn decided to stick with him, brought him in here. He really needed to sort of reshape his body, get bigger and stronger, lose weight in the right areas, gain some in the right areas. And he has just worked his tail off in the offseason and has transformed himself into potentially starting SEC offensive guard. And I think he could also play center, although Connor Lewis got that locked up. That's not going to change. But I just think he deserves a ton of credit. Even if he doesn't start this fall, he's going to play, and he will be a favorite to win a starting job here in the next year or two. He's a little undersized at 6'2", over 300 pounds height-wise. He fits more as a center, but he has just really performed well, and he deserves as many shout-outs as I can give him on the radio.
Yeah, seeing Braden Joyner, consistently as one of the twos at guard, and maybe someone who could push. Like when Hugh Freeze's answer to that question, we analyzed it a little bit on Friday's show. I think I read it verbatim, as a matter of fact. But the answer about the offensive line and who is who's performing and where they might be looking to get some of the new guys in there. I mean, the praise for Tyler Johnson continues. Yep. I wonder which of the two tackles is under more fire from Tyler Johnson, because it would seem like I think it comes down to. I mean, it's even if he's working on one side or the other, it feels like both tackles need to be at their best, or they will put Tyler Johnson on the field. And if they have to move somebody else over, if they have to put if they have to move Percy to the right or too tall to the left to get Tyler Johnson on the field, like whatever it takes, I suspect that's. I mean, it's going to be, he's putting the heat to both of the tackles. I don't know which one would be. More vulnerable.
And I think
there.
We talked to Percy the Thursday or Friday. I think it was Friday. And he said that was the first day that he had worked at right tackle on the right side. He had gone in with the twos. He's been with the ones at left tackle. So they're obviously looking at that as a possibility, right? So if he's over there, that means Tyler Johnson's with the ones over on the left side.
Yeah, presumably Tyler would be working at the ones. And then I guess Ronan would be working as the second left tackle behind Tyler, if Percy's moving over and working with the twos at right tackle, I would think that next guy up there on the left would be Ronan Chambers. I don't know. Braden, and I keep thinking, even if he's the backup center, I keep thinking that Hugh Freeze likes Tate Johnson.
Yeah, I think he's another one you should
comfortable putting Tate Johnson on the field. And if communication is a problem, which was something that Hugh Freeze mentioned at the press conference, the idea that this is a group that's struggling to communicate with each other. Connor Lewis making the right calls, but it's not being executed by the other four guys. I could see Tate Johnson helping out for communication purposes too.
Yeah,
having Tate Johnson in at guard for, and I guess Dylan's been consistently a center, so you would think maybe Jeremiah would be under pressure there.
Oh, I think so.
as the guard. But so. if you went with Tate instead, that would seemingly, like, without knowing what kind of drop off you get as a pass blocker or a run blocker going from Jeremiah Wright to Tate Johnson, I would imagine that because Tate Johnson has to know the calls as a center and has to be ready in case something happens to Connor Liu, that you would maybe bolster the communication aspect of the line by adding Tate Johnson to the starting lineup as one of the two guards. Yep,
that would make sense too. I think he's definitely in that mix also. So I think you've got, without a doubt, you've got a really solid two deep on the offensive line.
You talk about Joyner being a Harsin commit. Tate's a Gus signee.
Yeah, Tate's right. He's been around for a while.
Tate was the guy who stepped in for Nick Brahms. Yep. Back in the day. I think it was Gus's last year. I mean, it's been overcome
a couple of major injuries since then.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a wild ride for Tate Johnson. He's one of those guys where it'd be really cool to see it sort of end with some triumph.
So, I think it's a concern that they're maybe mixing and matching a little bit. It's also a positive in that, they're probably going to play a bunch of players anyway because that's what they do. But I just think you're going to have some guys getting different looks, and they're really going to work hard to find their best five over the next 2 to 5 weeks.
The fact that there are 8 guys or 10 guys they seem to feel pretty good about as potential contributors is a step in the right direction because Auburn has had offensive lines where you didn't get the sense that the coaching staff felt like they had 8 to 10 potential productive contributors there in the room helping everybody out. Like that's been a room that had been, and I mean, you following recruiting, you would know better than most about, like, you're upstream on how does this offensive line get assembled. Other people watching the team are like, boy, offensive line seems like a concern. And it's like, you've known following signing day, like, what offensive lines are going to be a concern and which ones aren't.
Yeah.
And consistently Auburn was trending as a team that might have problems in that area. Hugh Freeze trying to change that by bringing in the kind of players that he's bringing.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn's got 16 scholarship players now. It's a huge improvement talent-wise, I think, from a couple of years ago. So they've got some guys there. They just got to figure out where to put them. And I don't see a problem with going into Alabama A&M and giving Tyler Johnson – a start at left tackle. Maybe if you feel like Percy can play the right side, split the snaps between him and Isaiah Miller and see who grades out the best over there. If you want to switch things up at a guard or somewhere else, do that. I think that's a good thing because it gives guys a chance to win a job, and it also establishes depth and gives the backup more experience.
The rise of Tyler Johnson reminds me last year of when Tutal was being mentioned constantly, even though it looked like Auburn had 5 starters and Tutal wasn't one of them, because they had Wade and Britton at tackle, and they said, we're probably going to spend a year, giving Tutal a taste of D1 football, and 2024 is going to be the year that he's really ready to jump in and be a starter and grab this thing with 2 hands. And I think that plan lasted about a week before Tutal Miller was playing most of the snaps at his, he was at least splitting with Britton at tackle, and they were playing Britton inside a lot and letting Tutal handle the load there at tackle. And that's I think Tutal made 7 or 8 starts last year at tackle, maybe more than that, as a matter of fact. And hearing Tyler Johnson consistently get mentioned by this coaching staff, even though they have 5 other starters on the offensive line, makes me wonder, is this a guy who's going to take the bull by the horns when they're playing a lot of guys week 1? And sure enough, the plan's gonna, and I don't know what that means for Tutal. I don't know what that means for Percy. Like, I don't know. How that shakes out.
That's why they compete and get out there.
Maybe Percy and Tutal are the guys who take the bull by the horns, this time. But it does feel like they're bracing for Tyler Johnson to break into the starting lineup somehow. And just based on the way his coaches and his teammates have talked about him this fall. That's the sense I get.
Yeah, and he was going to be a starter. I think people had him pegged for a starter by this time next year.
You're talking Tyler
Johnson. Okay. But if he's ahead of the schedule and he's ready to get out there, you get him out there, because he's obviously a very talented young man, just a redshirt freshman, so he could give Auburn several good years of starting left tackle. He's a big, tall kid at 6'6", 320-plus pounds.
334-321-1390, the number to dial. Chris, hang on. We'll start the next segment with you. Didn't want to cut you short there, but that's the Drive Hotline presented by our friends at Skybar. You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our good friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Call them up, 334-209-6355, to learn more about incredible opportunities there at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And we will be back. Oh, they also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. We're here with Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Dan Peck, this is The Drive. Stick around.
Inspired by the bold bison.
02 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. The Monday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Drew at the controls, the capable one. Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Wings 94.3 is not just your home for classic hits, although that's absolutely true. Is it a was it Greg Kine? Was that how you said? Is that how you say his name, Brian?
I think so.
The Jeopardy and Love Song,
mm-hmm.
passing away over the weekend. Sad news there. Yeah. But you can hear some of his hits. Jeopardy is that I think one yep. As well. Yeah, you can hear that on Wings 94.3. You can also hear Tiger Talk tonight on Wings 94.3.
Oh, right.
Moving to Mondays.
How about that?
Your first Tiger Talk, and that's going to be live at 6 o'clock. You can also hear Auburn High School football and Auburn University football and Auburn University men's basketball on Wings 94.3. So I would recommend that you, I would recommend that you have that one saved in the. Is it Kin? Is it Greg Kin? I'm being told it might be
K-I-H-N.
Yeah, I always thought it was the Greg Kine band. Maybe it's Kin, like Greg Kinnear. Maybe it's Kin. Okay, so
should know, but I don't.
You know what? I'm being told by our crack research department. Drew has not even Googled this for me. Drew has listened to me struggle to learn someone's pronunciation and has had his phone in his hand the whole time and has not bothered to Google how you say this guy's name. Also does not know where Bill is going tonight during his concert. Greg Kin is the is how you say. You know, Chris has been hanging on long enough having to listen to this. Let's get to Chris. Maybe he knows. Chris, you're on the line.
Good afternoon, guys.
How you doing, Chris?
How's it going?
It's doing great. Good to hear from you.
Great. This call is not going to be probably as impressive as Barrett Salee calling from Dublin, having some Guinness. But I am sitting on the beach at Gulf Shores with the surf at my feet.
Okay.
And we just scored a touchdown and kicked the extra point. We're on 7 Coronas.
Wow.
We're good.
Oh, yeah. You're really good. Yes.
But no, I wanted to tell you guys,
you know, the chart says you go for 2 in that situation. Actually, I was looking
at...
Well,
yeah. We're going to onside kick, try to go for a field goal. But I wanted to tell you guys how much I've enjoyed the show over the years, and it was funny because we got 70s rock on the iPod over here, and I said, it's 4 o'clock. I got to listen to The Drive, so... but B Matt, I knew you were going to be on, and I know y'all talked about the O-line and everything, but I was thinking everything was going so well this year, and then you know that thing drops last week with Hugh saying that about the O-line. So talk me off the ledge.
Well, this is what I'll say about that: is you can look at it as a concern, which I think you has concerns, but you can also look at it as like, okay, these 5 guys have worked together, established themselves as starters, and now you got young guys coming along that are pushing them. So what you have is a lot of good competition, and that should make the players better. So
it's similar to the reasons why you would think Peyton Thorne would be better in year 2. I mean, there are reasons why the offensive line would be better, but I also think it's not. It's not prudent to pretend as though the Auburn offensive line was a dominant unit last year and right. All of the blame was on the quarterback and the receivers and the play calling. I think the offensive line shoulders some of the blame for the struggles the offense had, especially when you think about some of the second half of the season.
Well, I think the wide receivers are number one, though.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think our D line's going to be pretty salty.
I do too. Better than I thought.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with the depth that we've got in there.
Yep.
It's going to be, I just hope everything lives up to the hype.
The depth is impressive. Yeah. I do wonder if, I think with both receiver and defensive line, having depth is great. You wonder if Auburn will have, difference makers at the, in key moments, your crucial drives. Like, depth is great. I want to know who the best guys at the spot are. Like, I think Keldrick and if you want
to. Isaiah Rakes is
If you think about the edge, yeah. Right, like, I would think that McLeod and Kieran Crawford
a
really special yeah. side of that. But, then it comes down to, what are those two bigger inside spots looking at? Rakes and Trill Carter and Jason Jones and Malik,
yeah.
who is the fact that we're talking about a true freshman as one of these spots, that's usually
he's in the rotation.
Yeah, and that's usually a vote of confidence. When yep. you're playing yeah. as a true freshman at in the front seven, you turn out pretty good.
I feel better about it when I think about giving Bleedy 25 snaps, giving Malik Blockton 25 snaps, and giving Gage Keys 25 snaps, or however you divide yeah. it up in a game. And that means those guys are going full speed on those snaps. And then in passing yeah. situations, you can do some different things.
Think about what that would have meant in those big games last year that we lost.
Yep.
If we had a fresh D-line, it was just – that's so huge.
Oh, the depth was it was one of the problems you think about – the way the second half of the Ole Miss and Georgia and Alabama games, they trended towards the opponent, and I think the depth was a reason why you had to keep your starters out there to stay even with the best teams on your yeah. schedule last year, and now the hope is that yep. even against the best teams on your schedule, maybe you can go to the second string without seeing a drop off that can cost you the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge. Well, guys, thanks so much, and really enjoyed the show, and love hearing B-Matt on Mondays.
Oh, it's the reason I come into work.
Need to go for two on those Coronas now, right? You need to go for the 2-point conversion. Maybe you can kick a field goal if you can.
Y'all
still
get
early. Run it up. Hey, yeah. run the score still up early. On them.
Dang right. All right. Take care.
Appreciate it, Chris. Yeah, enjoy that. I, as a matter of fact, have called the show from very close to the Gulf of Mexico before as well. I've dispatched in from the Pensacola coast nice. during the Sun Belt tournament before. But yeah, we appreciate it. We're trying to get if you missed Friday's show. So Barrett Salee joins us during hour number one on Fridays, and he is going to Ireland for Georgia Tech, Florida State.
Oh, nice.
This Saturday. By the way, it's game week. Like it's college football.
Week zero.
It's college football game week. There's gonna be an ACC game in Ireland to kick things off on. Yeah, I love it. And it is the Atlantic coast. Like it is. Ireland's there, it's still on the
works,
coast.
Yeah.
Dublin. We are gonna. So Barrett calls in. We're trying to get him. We did the math. We think it's gonna be around 11:15 p.m. Friday night in Dublin. When it's 4 o'clock, time for Barrett's appearance. He's going to be in Ireland on downtown somewhere on a Friday night. We're going to try to get him to call in.
Nice.
We might have to use Skype. We might have to use technology, and it might not work. I'm acknowledging right now, but we're really hoping that we can get a drive by from our buddy Barrett while he's on the Emerald Isle there. Okay. And that should be fun. And it's cool college football. Emerging tradition to kick the season off overseas, and yeah, Georgia Tech, Florida State this upcoming Saturday, among a couple other games, some other major conference teams in action this weekend. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. I'm Dan Peck. Drew at the controls. We're going to take a break. We will be back with more. You are listening to The Drive.
Free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back. The Monday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com hanging out with us. Yeah, the a bit of a break from the last couple of weeks. Brian, because we've had so much media access with the Auburn football team leading up to since fall camp started. You know, we've been able to talk to so many players, been able to to meet with the coaches, and it's just appreciative of how much access they provided, and also curious to see what it looks like once the season starts in a couple of weeks as Auburn takes the field against Alabama A&M. 12 days, as Brian pointed out. You can hear it on Wings 94.3. Speaking of which, Tiger Talk, you can hear it tonight on Wings 94.3. And a sport we don't talk about too much, I know I said this Friday too, big shout out to Auburn Soccer. A huge win, trouncing Clemson over the to start the year for Auburn for Auburn University Athletics, first athletic event of the 24-25 academic calendar, and they went out there against number 5 Clemson, a team that went to the whatever the equivalent is of the Final Four, the national semifinals in women's soccer last year, and Auburn just took it to them, looked like the better team from bell to bell, and they
moved up to 13th. They're 13th, 14th.
Put the nation on notice very early. We've talked to Coach Hoppe a little bit. She sounds confident. Brian, you follow that sport just a smidge. That's a it's an impressive way to start the year.
I mean, beating a top 5 team 4-0. Yeah, that's a great way to start a season. I'm trying to find. I know. Oh, 13th in the country. Yep, Auburn moves up. So good.
All
for
right.
Them.
All right. Yeah. So big shout out to Karen Hoppe and her team. I think is she a guest on tonight's I want to say she's a guest on tonight's Tiger Talk.
I
could have that wrong, but I'd be surprised if that wasn't the case. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get barraged by folks who are going to tell me the correct answer to that one. But yeah, Tiger Talk, which by the way debuts tonight on Wings 94.3. You're not going to want to you're not going to want to miss that. Let me see if did the email have email did not have the I think they're doing the shows from Baumhauer's, but tonight's might be a studio show. I think they're going to do that once game weeks get going next week. Andy and the gang doing a great job with Tiger Talk. You're not going to want to miss that on ESPN, or no, you're not going to want to miss that on Wings 94.3.
Yes,
tonight, first episode of the season featuring Andy Burcham and company. All right, so we were talking about, and I guess this gets to if offensive line is the concern or one of the concerns that Hugh Freeze was willing to talk about from last week. Flipping to the defense, as enthusiastic as I am about what Auburn has added internal defensive line, I want to see the run defense improved in crucial spots. It felt like that was something, and maybe lack of depth was a big part of it. Where once Auburn, even against a Bama or a Georgia and Ole Miss, like there were games where Auburn was able to hang with them early, and as the game wore on, that run defense kind of melted away.
I think Austin Keys getting hurt really hurt that. Now you got Austin Keys back and looking better than ever, and you added Dory Mousey there at that middle linebacker. Plus, you've got guys like Robert Woodyard stepping
Robert
up.
Robert Woodyard's one of the better stories of the last couple of weeks, and we'll see what it means on the field. But that's a guy where folks have said he has the ability, right? I mean, it's been a question of putting it together and finding consistency. And a guy like to have a guy like Eugene Asante there who was also at the bottom of the depth chart and played his way into a rotational role and then quickly became the most important player at that position on the team. I wonder what kind of trajectory Woodyard could have bouncing back from not really being utilized all that much last year and entering this offseason with a questionable role on the depth chart to where he is now.
I think it's a great story. He came in with an injury, had to overcome that, and then he had to get back into playing shape and just become a college football player as far as his size and athleticism. And he's gotten through all that now, and I think he's ready to be a much bigger contributor at that linebacker group. I think maybe the biggest improvement on the defensive side is the pass rush from the edge. You know, last year Auburn had one guy, that was Jalen McLeod. He had to play a ton of snaps. He was undersized for an SEC pass rusher.
Now Auburn took some chances on. I mean, you had McAllister from Vanderbilt,
yeah, who was never a pass rusher. Though. Yeah, more of a set the edge.
Yeah, and was tough, somebody smart, yeah. and was somebody who had endured some injuries, and I think was still sort of battling that as the season went on. Steven Sings was depth on the inside, but I think that, you know, and those were guys also that Auburn, you know, when you're assembling a roster with a lot of guys out of the transfer portal, as Auburn had to last year. You know, you're not necessarily going to. They're not all going to have.
It's hit and miss.
Season changing sort of impacts.
Jalen was a hit,
and Jalen McLeod was a hit. I think Auburn would have. I think Auburn, you know, thinks that there's even another better version.
Keyron Crawford is going to be a hit. I could absolutely almost guarantee it. Yeah. I mean, he has just been terrific in camp so far.
Well, he's sort of like half Fairweather, half McLeod, right? Like, he's got a lot of the Jalen McLeod defensive accolades, with the caveat that it's the Sun Belt, and that doesn't necessarily translate to the SEC.
Translating right now in practice.
But then you've also got the fact that this is a guy who's new to the sport and is still...
He's still ascending.
Yeah, he's still learning to swim.
And he looks like an SEC pass rusher, 6'4", every bit of 245, and just... When you step out on that field to watch Auburn practice, you are going to notice number 24 fairly quickly because of the way he looks. Yeah. And having him and Jalen as now your primary pass rushers, using them both together on the field at the same time, you got some talented freshmen behind them. Now you can get more pass rush from the defensive position with Keldrick Fault being a year older. Amaris Williams is a special freshman defensive lineman. You can move Keldrick in. He's so big, you move him into tackle on third and long and get more pass rushers in the game. You're going to see Auburn. And then you add in DJ Durkin, whose Texas A&M defense led the SEC. I think it was 42 sacks last season, if I'm not mistaken. This is going to be a fun group when they get a team in third and long or in passing situations.
And without Keyron Crawford last year, I mean, without Keyron Crawford, you'd be looking at Jalen McLeod and saying, boy, does he have to stay healthy, or else you're leaning on a lot of freshmen and redshirt freshmen who have never really seen the field in college football before. And maybe those guys are ready to go. I mean there's been raves about, I think somebody mentioned Joe Phillips. Was that Coach Freeze? Mm-hmm. Talking about Joe Phillips being maybe one of the more improved players from the first day of spring practice to right now. The fact that you don't necessarily need Joe Phillips to play starters minutes this season if everyone else is healthy is a benefit, even if you think he could contribute a lot. And he could be unleashed on third and long situations to go get a quarterback, because that's one of the more physically impressive looking guys on the whole team.
Yeah, last year's defense had to scheme up different ways to get pressure on the passer, right? Which is fine. But when you have to do that, other teams can adjust to that and take it away a little bit more easier. When you have enough players that can win those one-on-one battles, you don't have to scheme up as much. And when you do scheme up, it really catches teams off guard, because they're just worried about stopping that guy. And then they see another guy coming from another spot or moving around. It just really throws them into a bit of a mess offensively. So that's what Auburn's got more of, more pass rushers. They've got a defensive coordinator who loves to switch things up and confuse teams and get after the passer the passer in a lot of different ways, and they've got the guys to do it. So I think it's going to be really fun watching Auburn operate from its front four or five, however many guys are in there rushing, getting after the passer.
334-321-1390, the number to dial. We got Terry on the line. What's up, Terry?
Hey, Dan. Hey, Brian. How are y'all doing today?
Doing okay. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk to y'all, always. Brian, you kind of stole my question, but I want to ask you this question about the pass rush being improved. There was a couple times last year that I felt like a decent pass rush would have made a huge difference, especially against Alabama when Jalen Rudolph could sit there and eat Sunday dinner.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying, basically? I think that could be the difference. I think that was the difference in some wins and losses last year.
I think so. Obviously, I'm a guy that wants to see it, but from everything I've seen in practice, from what I've heard from coaches and players – they have definitely elevated that part of the defense, and Durkin is the right guy too, I think, when you want to pressure opposing offenses, because it's not just having a Keyron and a Jalen McLeod on the edge or having Keldrick providing that pass rush maybe inside the tackle, but you've also got guys like Eugene Asante at linebacker and some other guys. DeMarcus Riddick is going to be a star player for Auburn.
Oh, they feel great about the guys they've brought in from the high school ranks over the last year or two. It's just a matter of, do those guys do they have enough seasoning? You know, have they been marinating long? Yep. I've been grilling a lot lately, so it's, are they properly at temperature quite yet to go out there and contribute?
And if you want a blitz a cornerback like Keontae Scott, he's going to get there quickly and he's going to deliver a blow and make a tackle. So they've got other options too.
A great pass rush can make an average secondary look really well.
Yep, and that's what Auburn needs, right? I mean, I'm not saying they're average, but they certainly are thin there, and they've got some guys learning to do new jobs. So that is an area of the secondary, I think, that's going to take a little while to come, you know, get to its best playing, right? It's relied on some young people. You got established depth. You got Keontae playing corner instead of nickel. You got two new safeties in there. It's going to take time for that unit to gel. And while that's happening, hopefully you got the pass rush up front that takes the pressure off them a little bit. And then by the time we get into week four and week five against Arkansas and Oklahoma, they're starting to come together. The defense is getting used to DJ Durkin, and then go out there at Jordan-Hare Stadium and put a show on.
Right. And one quick pro football question for you guys, if you don't mind. Now, Dan, you're going to love this because Bo Nix and Jared Sinnum are battling for the quarterback job.
How about that?
Right?
Yeah.
Has there ever been in the professional ranks two quarterbacks from the same school battle for a job?
I think the answer to that is yes.
I think they've had.
I can't, you know, off the top of my head, I can't think of a. Oh yeah, they both were from the same school and they were in competition for the same job. And I guess you also, there's the caveat that Bo Nix finished his career at Oregon. But you're right. It's unusual. I mean, they were almost teammates at Auburn. If Jarrett Stidham finishes his college eligibility, if he doesn't leave early after the 2018 season, they would have been teammates with Jarrett as a senior and Bo as a freshman at Auburn, and instead they're teammates in Denver.
Yeah, and the bad news for Bo Nix, Dan, is Seth Williams is in Jacksonville now.
Yeah, although I still think Bo Nix was able to do okay without Seth in Oregon for a couple of years and play his way into the
conference where they don't play any defense.
Yeah, but that hasn't stopped other Pac-12 quarterbacks from being pretty good,
you're
Terry.
Right.
Like I know what you mean. I mean, there's no guarantee with any of these guys. I mean Bryce Young was the number one pick last year, and it was kind of shocking at times. But even guys who struggle their first year. I mean, we've seen quarterbacks who look completely lost year one, year two in the NFL, and they're able to emerge as really solid options or better later in their careers. But the one thing is you would think Sean Payton with what he did with Drew Brees would be the right guy to guide a quarterback through the transition to the NFL, although it didn't work too well with Russell Wilson last year when they tried to make that work together.
Appreciate it, guys. You have a great day.
Appreciate it, Terry. Yeah, it's but Bo Nix, I don't know what kind of NFL career Bo Nix is going to have. I
lean toward good.
Yeah, I mean,
just
I think
because he's such a competitor and he's such a great improviser that if things break down, he can make a play. And sometimes you got to have that in NFL. I know you got to be. I mean, he's smart too, so he can run the offense the way it needs to be run. But I just think with so many great athletes there. A guy gets past you, pressures you. If you can step out in the pocket or roll out or something, still make a play, that makes you a special kind of quarterback. I think that's something Bo can do.
It feels like a different era of NFL quarterbacks, too, where there's Mahomes, and it's difficult to really criticize anything he's doing.
Just winning Super Bowls, right?
Yeah, and he's on his way to being one of the best ever, at the very least. After that, I mean, Joe Burrow has durability issues, but when he's playing, he's clearly top tier. Josh Allen has, I mean, it just feels like the tier is, it's a smaller and shorter list than in previous years of, and maybe that's just Mahomes distancing himself from everybody else. But beyond the top four or five guys in the league, even then you get into, some questions of, I mean, Lamar Jackson's great, but I think it's dangerous to bet on a quarterback with that style of play long term. And then we're getting into like Tua and Jalen Hurts and stuff. So yeah, I don't know. Like it's a big tier of kinda, in the NFL, and Bo Nix probably could play his way there very very soon.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Mahomes is not in a tier by himself.
To be I think that's what I mean. I mean, yeah. and then are you putting Joe Burrow in that tier with him? Like, it's I don't know. It's all right. We'll be back. Final segment of hour number one. Stick around. This is The Drive.
Take your brand to the next level too, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
And that is going to wrap it up for hour number one.
All right,
we're rolling. The Monday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. We will have more in hour number two. Might get a recruiting update from Brian as you know,
we can talk recruiting.
Nothing too urgent, but I think Brian usually can find some find a tidbit or two somewhere. We didn't talk any Monday musings at all.
Yeah, we talked that.
And we didn't talk about Uncle Keith's Red Sauce.
So delicious. The best salsa you've ever had. Ooh. Homegrown right here in the state of Alabama.
Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. All right, we'll be back with more. This is The Drive.
This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Monday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck hanging out in the studio. Drew at the controls. And our buddy Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com in the house. Bill Cameron taking the day off as the world tour continues. He will get us details on his concert experience tomorrow when he returns to the show. In the meantime, we creep closer to the start of college football season. Game week around the country for a lot of schools, including Florida State and Georgia Tech, who will be squaring off in Ireland on Saturday, and then Auburn just a little bit less than 2 weeks away from the first game of the season at Jordan-Hare, which you can hear on Wings 94.3 tonight. Tiger Talk making its season premiere. I love getting to use language like that. You know, your season premiere, your season finale, what have you. Series finale. I've been part of many series finales in radio. Pretty much every show I've ever been on has had a series finale. Sometimes we didn't know when we were doing the series finale that we were doing the series finale. As a matter of fact, could be the case. You never in radio, every single one of them could be the series finale, depending on who's
nice knowing you, Dan.
Depending on who's listening and how they feel that day. The season premiere of Tiger Talk tonight on Wings 94.3. You can catch that at 6, and should be a good one. I believe Coach Freeze, Coach Pearl, and Coach Kleinert among the luminaries that will be in the house for tonight's episode of Tiger Talk. So you're not going to want to miss that. Auburn High School football getting underway on Friday. Not going to want to miss that either. Another exciting season of action for the high school Tigers. That's on Wings 94.3. And then Auburn football, Auburn University football, just a little bit less than 2 weeks, 12 days, as you said, Brian, before I would expect a very lively crowd in Jordan-Hare Stadium to kick off the 2024 season for the Auburn Tigers. I don't think this summer has changed too much of my my viewpoint of how the of I don't think it's changed too much. Drew, the phone's ringing. It hasn't changed too much about my view of how the season is going to go.
What is that view?
You know, I still would lean toward if I wasn't allowed to pick. If the over-under's 7, I was talking with Doug about this a little bit, and if the over-under is 7, and I had to go one way or the other,
yep,
I would think maybe I would be more inclined to go 8 than 6, right? Like, yeah. If I had to go one way or the other, there, I would say that I'm probably thinking, if you, I guess those that hinges on a couple of things. I mean, you can't screw up against Arkansas or Cal, right? Or else the path to
you need to start out 4-0, baby.
I mean, you better be 4-0. And if you're gonna do, I would say if you're gonna do better than 8, you probably need to be 5-0 because it, you know, that's Oklahoma game is one of those swing games on the schedule with A&M and with Missouri.
Missouri and at Kentucky too.
At Missouri, and I would lump at Kentucky in there. Although I talked with Ferg about this. It's a little bit surprising to look at the playoff odds and see that Auburn has far better odds to make the playoff this year than Kentucky does.
You think they'll be favored.
Well, when they're two teams that are right next to each other in the conference voting, and yeah, I would imagine right now Kentucky might be favored. But I also think it's probably true that Auburn has a higher ceiling than Kentucky because of how Auburn has recruited. And Kentucky, you know, even if they, you know, a good season or a great season for Kentucky maybe looks a little bit different than a good season or a great season for this Auburn team because they've brought in a higher caliber player at a couple of key spots. Just a matter of those players fulfilling their potential. But yeah, I would lump Kentucky in there. Oklahoma, A&M, Missouri, and Kentucky all feel like the kind of games that decide. Yeah, are you going to go 6-6, 7-5, or are you going to go 9-3, 10-2, and contend for the SEC regular season title? I mean, because if you're 10-1 going into the Iron Bowl,
are we talking about Auburn?
That's what I mean. I mean, no. But if you think here's what I mean by that, Brian. Like, if you think that the two, like at Georgia and at Alabama, feel like the biggest long shots on the board, after that, I mean, things would have to line up.
You'd have to win every questionable game on your schedule.
Exactly, but they're questionable games. They're not games that you're looking at and saying, like, if you're breaking down Arkansas's schedule or South Carolina's schedule right now, it's not about questionable games. It's about a bunch of games where it feels like they're a solid underdog.
Right.
Auburn, maybe Missouri, right now is a game where Auburn feels like a solid underdog. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's not necessarily the case at kickoff.
Yeah, we'll see.
When Auburn plays Missouri. But you know, Auburn's schedule, for a team that's a bit of a long shot to they're certainly a long shot to win the conference. I think Auburn's 50-1 right now to win the SEC this year. But they're not nearly that kind of long shot to make the college football playoff, 7-1 right now, I think, to be included in the 12. And that's because there really are only two games on Auburn's schedule where you would look at it right now and say, "Wow, they're a huge underdog on paper to this opponent." A lot of them feel like coin flips, especially at home. A&M in Oklahoma at Jordan-Hare Stadium, where, you know, it felt like Jordan-Hare. Like, I don't know how many in a vacuum. I don't know how many points better Georgia was than Auburn last year. Like on paper, you know, if you looked at the, you know, if you ran both rosters into a computer. And you ask them, how many points better is this Georgia roster than this Auburn roster? I don't know the answer to that question.
It was a lot.
Okay, it was a lot. And yet when those two teams played at Jordan-Hare Stadium, it was even for a while, and Georgia wins at the end. And to me, like, the conventional wisdom has been home field adds 3 points, 6 points. In a big game, I'm starting to think Jordan-Hare Stadium adds more than that.
Well, Jordan-Hare Stadium is one of the toughest places to play, like, in the country, period.
Yeah.
It's always been.
And even in a conference full of teams that boast a significant home field advantage, you know, even in a conference where, you know, if you were thinking about the 10 or 15 or 20 toughest places to play, a big number of them are SEC teams, including Texas and Oklahoma, who just joined the list. Acknowledging that, it still feels like, you know, the notion of if it's a big game for Oklahoma or A&M to go on the road and come to Jordan-Hare, that's a dicey proposition. Because I made this point last week, Brian, like the gap between last year's Auburn team and last year's Georgia team on paper, it feels like the gap between this year's Auburn team and this year's Oklahoma or A&M teams, it's not nearly that.
No.
It's not nearly that. And Auburn was able to nearly, I mean, you know, not that they, or, you know what, if you want to use Alabama, because Auburn came closer to winning the Alabama game than they did the Georgia game. If you want to use Bama, because that was one that genuinely came down to, you know, to the wire. Like, that's, you know, if Auburn was that close last year in big games against a team like Georgia, a team like Bama, you know, maybe they've got enough to make a jump and surprise some people. And maybe making a jump does not require winning in Athens or in Tuscaloosa. Like you can make that jump without winning two games where it feels like you're a pretty significant underdog and you're on the road. But every other game on the schedule feels like it's a different kind of winnable or a different kind of possible than what we've dealt with in the past.
I think that's a good argument. I just think it's going to be hard for a team like Auburn, who is ascending, who is getting better, to win all those so-called 50-50 games. I mean, they're not that far removed from a terrible home loss to New Mexico State, right? You can look at the Georgia-Alabama games, but you can also look at New Mexico State games. So it can work both ways in a lot of ways. So.
Oh, and assuming the Arkansas and Cal games are wins is a dicey proposition because right. Even though Auburn flattened Arkansas in Fayetteville last year, Arkansas flattened Auburn in Jordan-Hare Stadium in 2022. It was the last game Brian Harsin ever coached at Auburn. So a lot can change in a year, especially if a team has a bit of a chip on its shoulder about what happened in the previous meeting. And Auburn was on the ropes against Cal in Berkeley, well into
That nice drive there in the fourth quarter.
Yep. The crucial moments of that game. So, and I think that I think Justin was using FPI or one of the one of the indexes for this.
Yep.
I think Auburn has one of the places said Auburn has Auburn has a better than 50% chance of starting the year 4-0, but it's not that much better than 50% because the Arkansas and Cal games are still in enough question to where I think Auburn is. I think it's like a less than 60% chance.
Yeah,
like
somewhere
between 50 or 60, and then that number because then you get into Oklahoma and Georgia. Like Auburn has a 20 something or a 30 something percent chance in this index of being 5-0, and a less than 5% chance of being 6-0 because then you factor in the teams they play week 5 and week 6. But to your point about Auburn needing to handle business in games where it seems like they have a decided advantage. Yeah, to blow a tire early against a team that you feel like you should beat, a team that you feel like, I mean, a team that you've penciled in as a win to get to 7-5 or 8-4 or better, you lose one of those, especially at home, and it would be an earth-shaking sort of loss for this team because it diminishes a lot of. I mean, you thought the first 4 weeks were a chance to pick up momentum and play some younger guys and evaluate aspects of your roster. And if you're in a dogfight, or even worse, if you're losing one of these games, it suddenly becomes a different feeling around the team for sure.
It does, and we don't know a lot about what Cal's going to bring to the table this year. We know Arkansas is fighting for the coach's life, so that can change the perspective sometimes.
And Arkansas drew Oklahoma State early in the year. That's a preseason top 25 team. A lot of people think Oklahoma State is going to be the Big 12 representative in the college football playoff this year. Arkansas, a couple of bad losses, a couple of ugly losses early to Oklahoma State and Auburn, and it's gonna feel over before September is over for Pittman, and I think people are going to be ready to say, like, all right, it's basketball season, and like he's going to lose what he has of the fan base, and that's like a couple of big. And I think this is where Hugh Freeze is probably somewhat fortunate that, like, I mean, I know people are lamenting that Auburn opens the season with 5 straight home games because it allows for that long break in October where you don't see the team for 4 weeks in a row, but the flip side of that would be, give Auburn a road game at a preseason top 20 Power 5 team in the first 3 weeks of the season, and give Auburn a road game against a team that throttled them last year at home, and that's how Arkansas starts the year. Like, that's how Arkansas eases into SEC play this year. Is, you know, in the first 4 weeks of the season, they've got those two games on the schedule, and it's like, I mean, it could be
Auburn could deliver a knockout blow to Sam Pittman.
I thought it was the knockout blow last year. Yeah. Like, I did not think Sam Pittman would ever coach another game for Arkansas after the way Auburn beat him at home last year when Auburn came in not really soaring or anything like that. They'd played, especially away from home, You know, you hadn't really seen anything resembling that outside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. And for Auburn to go up to Fayetteville and do what they did, like, it was, I mean, it was shocking. And so, yeah, I would say that those are the kind of stakes that game has. And then even still, even without Cal and Arkansas, Brian, like, you think about the four road games and A&M in Oklahoma, like, that's right. That's those. I mean, if you were to go 0-6 in those six games, you're still not getting to 7-5. You're still not getting 8-4. You're still sitting there at six. Like, so you need to beat someone, and those are two preseason top 25 teams coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium, and four road games against. I mean, granted, Kentucky's not ranked, but four road games against teams that are at the very. Three teams that are projected to make the college football playoff by a lot of people, yep. And then a Kentucky team that is
returns a whole bunch
yep. of starters and is going to be playing at home. So yep. I mean it's a like that and that's why I keep thinking, like, you could go 6-6 beating Cal and Arkansas, like, that's why you can't blow a tire in those two games, because there's a version of this where you're looking at a 6-6 regular season without beating, like, while beating Cal or Arkansas. Drop one of those games, and suddenly suddenly
you're being compared to Billy Napier, which is this thing that does not need to happen here.
Yes, yes.
The way you freeze his recruiting, if he can have the year that he needs to have, 7 or 8 wins just to keep the momentum going, just to get another top five class in or a top five class in and have another one in the wings, then Auburn is ready to take off by 2025, but they got to get through this year with everybody on the same side, everybody pulling together and not falling apart like Florida did at the end of last year.
People have to feel inside the locker room and outside the locker room. People have to feel like it's going in the right direction yep. when the regular season's over.
I'm writing about this Monday, but it is the most important thing. This is the most important thing in Auburn, most important season that Auburn's had in a long time. Because it can make or break Auburn for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it can decide. Things could go so badly this year that it sort of dooms the freeze era.
Right.
And if the freeze era is doomed, then it's tough to, like, I don't know what the next best idea is.
I don't know
is.
Either.
Yeah.
I mean, it killed Billy Napier last year.
Yeah.
Just killed him. Now, if there's a coach on a hotter seat, I don't know him. Him or Sam Pittman, I guess, or 1-2. And I think it's Napier.
And they inherited very different situations, right. And they've had sort of different tenures. The expectations are different for the Arkansas coach and the Florida coach.
And it's not just him being on the hot seat. It's his recruiting class, which was a top five class a year ago, getting torn to pieces in November and December, including two players that Auburn took away and a third they almost took away.
It's a belief that things have gotten so bad that it's impossible for him to make any headway, because it's going to be impossible to recruit. Remember when there was a belief that a coach was on the hot seat and he couldn't hire coordinators? It's like, always no good coordinator is going to go.
I've covered several Auburn teams like that.
Yes.
In my time.
And that's
more than I wanted to.
It's like that, but with recruits.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to, if it seems like the ship is sinking, they don't want to sign up to
and
save it.
And schools will be all over that commit list.
Oh, so, and keeping your locker room together.
Right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's where.
Vital.
And,
vital that Auburn wins at least 7 games, hopefully 8. Steals a win at Kentucky or Missouri. Beats Oklahoma or Texas A&M at home, whatever it takes to get to that, and to have everybody still believing in Hugh Freeze and his program, and that Auburn's on the ascendancy. If they can do that this year, then I think they'll be in position with as much talent as they'll have that they'll be able to take off by year 3.
And this is why, and I don't want to ignore Alabama A&M or New Mexico, you know, especially New Mexico there in week 3. But this is why those Cal and Arkansas games feel so important, because, like, the path to 8-4 feels impossible if you drop one of the two games at home to Cal.
It does,
Arkansas.
But then again, we've been in seasons where you're crazy
right. No,
stuff
no, no,
happens.
No. I mean, that's not to say it can't happen, but, like, the thought of, like, to find if you're 3-1 after Arkansas,
like, you're worried.
To find you know, only 3 more losses the rest of the way. Like, you got to start beating some really good teams, and it means you just dropped a home game to a team that people would say. You know, is like Arkansas would appear to be Arkansas and Vandy. You know, so I mean, that you got two games in the conference where it feels like Auburn is significantly better. And again, I guess you got to be careful there. With the, I mean, based on, feels like there are two games where
Auburn should win.
Yes. Drop one of those, and suddenly everything else gets a lot shakier.
You win your three non-conference games. You beat Arkansas and Vandy. That's five wins. You've got to find two or three more from the other seven games. That's what you got to do if you're Auburn.
And again, this started with me. I mean, it's amazing the path that, you know, this started with me talking about the path to 10-2. And it's like there's a version of this.
Let's start with the path to 75 and then work from there.
Well, no, but that's the crazy thing about this schedule is that it feels like there's a version of this that takes a step back in a couple crucial areas and goes 4-8 or 5-7. Yeah. And there's there's a version of this that takes a step forward in a couple crucial areas and flirts with the college football playoff.
Right. Well, I mean, if you start out 4-0, you beat Oklahoma at home, and then you steal a Kentucky or Missouri on the road, that's six wins right now.
What's Auburn ranked at their 5-0 after Oklahoma? What are they ranked going into the draft?
They've got, I think, one vote, I think, in the AP.
No, but if Auburn is 5-0 after the Oklahoma game.
Well, I think they're probably between
15 and 10.
Or maybe right around 15-ish.
I mean, that'd be 5-0 with three wins over major conference opponents.
Yeah.
Granted, all at home.
Yeah.
You know, I just right mean there. Like yeah. I mean,
you got to go from not ranked all the way up.
But the feeling would be back in a lot of ways, and so it's just a matter.
That Oklahoma Auburn game, both teams are undefeated, is going to like bring in a ton of natural interest. It's going to be one of the biggest games of that weekend.
Yeah, it's the same day as Bama Georgia.
Yeah.
So I mean, what a Saturday of what a Saturday of college football. John, hang on. We will get to you when we come back. This hour of the drive brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika. On the web at orthoclinic.com. You can call the show 334-321-1390 on the Drive Hotline presented by Skybar, or text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Dan Peck, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, Drew at the controls. This is The Drive. Stick around.
Take your brand free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. The Monday edition of The Drive, Dan Peck in the studio, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com hanging out with us. Brian, what did you what'd you write about this week on your outstanding website with your Monday musings?
You know, I just talked a little bit about the team, about Freeze's concern coming out, two concerns coming out of camp, which is the offensive line, which we talked about a lot on our show today. And I think the second concern he had was just the physicality. Did he balance it right, having enough full contact 11-on-11 work balanced out with having thud 11-on-11 or whatever work, and not putting certain players at risk, especially in the secondary and at running back and other positions where they're a little thin depth wise. So, but I think a lot of coaches probably have that type of concerns. I think the trend now is to have less full contact in the preseason, just because most teams have depth concerns at one or two positions, no matter how good you recruit, unless you're, you know, three or four schools maybe. But you look at Texas, you know, they lost their one and two running backs in preseason camp. So these things can happen. Sometimes it's just bad luck, but things like that make coaches really nervous about it. And I think they're being extra careful with those type of things and want to limit the number of tackle to the ground type drills and our scrimmages they have.
Talking with Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com on the Monday edition of The Drive. What about the music? What would you veer into?
Pet Shop Boys.
Ooh.
Yep.
West End Girls.
West End Girls.
That's a good one.
I think it was 41. I can pull it up. I
Let's
think
make
it was,
lots of money. I got I got the brains. You got the looks.
Yep. Yeah. Another good one. Maybe it was 43 years. The two guys, it was 43 years ago. Chris Lowe and Neil Tennant randomly met at a hi-fi shop in Chelsea called Chelsea Record Center. And they're just talking about a synthesizer that one of them was buying. And they struck up a friendship there, and they ended up forming the Pet Shop Boys, the two of them. And, of course, became part of that second British invasion. One of the leaders of the synth pop movement back in the 80s. And as you mentioned, Western Girls was, of course, their big hit. They had about I think four total U.S. top tens, and I think three or four top U.K. Hits too. So a very popular band back in the 80s and still going strong today, making albums and going on tours.
Love the love some of the 80s new wave that can that can work its way in. Hey, shout out the other folks at auburnsports.com too, and the great work that that they're doing, because we have actually, hold on, before we do that, let's get to John, who's been hanging on for a while. What's up, John?
Hey guys, if you're gonna go music, I saw where Jack Russell of Great White died over the weekend.
Yeah, we saw that too.
Yeah, sad news.
Sad news, but I heard your comments on expectations for the upcoming season. I guess for me as a fan, maybe I'm being much more patient than others, but I think what I'm going to be judging Coach Freeze on is how much ammo he's got in the guns when Georgia and Alabama come a-calling in 2025 to Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Yeah.
And I think I'm looking at the big picture. If he went youth movement and Auburn went 7-6, then I probably would not say much. But I understand that recruiting. But I just had three quick questions.
I think you're going to see quite a bit of. I mean, you're going to see youth at different positions. I think Auburn also has upperclassmen that they feel good about in a couple of key spots. But I think that there are multiple positions where you feel like contributions and maybe more than just contributions are coming from first and second year guys that Auburn signed out of high school.
I hope you're correct, because quite honestly, I would rather see Cam Coleman and Perry Thompson and those guys start over Robert Lewis and Sam Jackson, just because I don't think those guys give you anything in 25. But that said, I just had two quick questions. I missed Coach Freeze's comments on the offensive line. That was one. Secondly, what weaknesses, what do you think has been the biggest weakness for the team, Brian, when you've gone to practice? And one final question, and this is kind of an off-the-wall question, but do they even make a physical media guide for football anymore? Is everything digital? That's literally all I got.
They still make some physical media guides, but not many. I know I overheard one of Auburn's media relations folks mentioning that they had some bound books if anybody wanted them. I didn't hear anybody saying they wanted one. You can go online, I think right now, to the Auburn Athletic site and pull out their media guide, in PDF form and go through it and – they go back pretty far there, but it's changed from back in the day. I would go to SEC Media Days, and I would fill up a big, heavy box with, was it 12 or 14 at the time? Probably starting out, it was 12, right? And then they went to 14. When did they go to 14?
When the SEC go to 14?
Yeah.
A&M and
that was 90.
No, A&M in Missouri was the early 2010s.
Either way, you would get a media guide for every team, and it would be heavy as heck, but also pretty cool to have these media guides that with all the information. But yeah, most of it's online now. And he said, Freeze said, this quote, just the start of it, it's kind of long, but he said the O-line probably is one of the tighter groups we have. I do think we have a ways to go there. That's probably been my biggest worry about the offense right now, believe it or not. And then he went on to talk a little bit about some things and stuff. He said... we still have work to do. I'm optimistic. Tyler Johnson is now healthy, and he's got a chance to be really, really talented. Chambers has been very good late pickup. Talking about Ronan Chambers, who's worked mostly at right tackle, I believe, but maybe they're looking at some other spots for him. We'll see. And we're debating with D. Wade where's best for him to play. So we're still in the process of figuring that out, he said. So that's an area we're watching. But as I mentioned in my Monday Musings, I think that's an area that they can – continue to look at over the next 2 weeks and the next few weeks as the season gets going. So it's still an opportunity for players to step up and maybe take a spot that people might not be expecting at least a week or so ago. And I guess my biggest weakness on the team that I've seen, depth in the secondary, especially inexperienced depth. Guys, I think, have some talent, but they just have not played in the SEC. Auburn's going to depend on a lot of those guys early on, a whole bunch of them. I mean, I think J.C. Hart's going to be a player, but I don't think he's played an SEC snap. He redshirted. He may have played some. Jay Crawford's a true freshman. He's going to be a player, but again, he's a true freshman. So they're going to rely on a lot of those guys early on. Sylvester Smith at safety, of course. Fortunately, you got a guy like Jaron Thompson coming in that's going to help out there. And then offensively, I would say I'm still concerned about the quarterbacks. I think Peyton Thorne is the best quarterback, and he's going to be the starter, and there's not a question there. But I am still concerned about how good is he going to be. Can he match those 2021 numbers he had at Michigan State, which I think he can, but I still want to see it.
Appreciate the phone call, John. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. Brian, you want to go ahead and highlight the other members of the team before we take a break?
Got a Commodore, J.G. Tate, running the site. Oh. Very active on the message board.
One and only.
Great writer. 25-plus years on the beat. Just a great guy to have in charge there. You got Caleb Jones working the recruiting. You got Brian Stoltz helping out. Writing his columns, always fun to read his stuff. And, of course, we got Henry helping out, too, does some great stuff with basketball and recruiting.
And speaking of recruiting, might get into some recruiting talk when we come back. We are going to take a break. Stick around. You are listening to the Monday edition of The Drive.
382-7502 or email thedrive at espnau.com.
Welcome back. The Monday edition of the Drive with Bill Cameron, who is not here today. It's not The Drive with Bill Cameron. I mean, it's always The Drive with Bill Cameron, to be clear. It's always The Drive with Bill Cameron, but he is he's
Bill going, right now. He's wearing a cutoff T-shirt. He's probably got a headband, right, wrapped around him. Wait, maybe in the back of a pickup truck, drinking beer out of a cooler.
You think he's dressed like someone,
he's going to a concert, right?
Tailgate, that's what at a Skinner show back in the 70s?
Yeah.
Quite possibly. I cannot confirm nor deny those rumors about Bill.
Maybe got some cutoff jeans on.
Could have busted out. Yeah, absolutely. Could have busted out the Billy Squire tank top. No, we got a first episode of Tiger Talk tonight. You're not going to want to miss that on Wings 94.3. Andy Burcham and the gang talking College Cup, talking with Coach Pearl, Coach Kleinard, and Coach Freeze, I believe, are the coaches.
I heard of those guys. Yeah, pretty good coaches right there.
That's right, Freeze, Kleinard, and Pearl. Drive listener Andy Burcham was willing to present that information to me. So
I believe that starts right after we're done.
Should be able to catch that on Wings 94.3. They're still playing classic hits for 20 more minutes.
That good 70s, 80s music. Right?
They'll venture into the 90s. You'll hear
the 90s myself.
You'll hear
sometimes.
A Foo Fighters song. You'll hear a Chili Peppers or
Nirvana, maybe.
I think How You Remind Me by Nickelback maybe makes an appearance. I feel like that's about as modern as that's where maybe classic hits dip into. Like 2002, 2003 now before it. Hard to believe that things from 2000. I mean, I guess this is where, you get into the thought of this is the 20th anniversary of the 04 team.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah, right? And everything from 2004 is 20 years old this year. That's a crazy thing to think about. That stuff. Like the Killers should be on classic rock radio. Like Mr. Brightside is a classic rock song.
I feel like 70s and 80s will always be classic rock.
Yeah, I know.
And that is the era.
It does not. No, it will never seem normal to hear Nirvana on a classic rock station, right? Because it's you feel like 60s, 70s, 80s is that album rock. I know what you mean. We'll just pivot really hard here because we promised a recruiting segment, Brian. And you've what's the word? Feels like we've been following sort of a different post Big Cat.
Yep,
we've been following sort of a different trajectory. And there's been some juice, some life. They love where they are with the class of 25.
I believe it's still in the top five. Last time I looked, which is a couple of days ago. But Big Cat was huge. They got, I guess, 9 commitments, was it, coming out of there? If you go all the way to Jared Smith, I think who committed about a week or so after it, the big pass rusher, outside linebacker from Thompson High School in Alabaster. But I still think there's some guys that were at Big Cat or may or may not have been at Big Cat to keep a close eye on in the coming days and weeks. So, I still got 4 guys. They're really the same 4 guys I've talked about for a while, but Deuce Knight, the quarterback from Mississippi, still committed to Notre Dame. Auburn recruiting very, very hard. I think he might have a decision, you know, a final decision by the end of this month. So keep an eye on that over the next 10 to 12 days or so. We'll see how that goes. Sam Turner, the talented wide receiver, he's a four-star from, I think he's from Georgia. He is a Georgia Tech commit. Came to Big Cat, is returning to Auburn, I believe, on an official visit for the Oklahoma game. So that's one to keep a really, really close eye on. Tyler Lockhart is a former Auburn commit. He's got a brother at Mississippi State, I believe. So he decommitted to Auburn. People thought he was going to commit to Mississippi State. He hasn't, as far as I know. And I think Auburn is back pretty much in the mix there. So that's one to keep a close eye on. I wouldn't say that's a lot for him to jump back in Auburn's class, but it's definitely a possibility. And then Naheem Offord, an Ohio State commit, the top player in the state of Alabama for the 25 class. He's from Birmingham. Very, very talented cornerback. Big, tall, fast, athletic. A playmaker at the cornerback position. Auburn is going to continue to recruit him, and we'll stay on him this month, next month, and all the way through signing day. And I'm sure they will get him back at some point, probably several times during the season for games, and continue to put the press on him and his family to flip.
Right, and Auburn, what's your sense of the 24 of the 25 class? Of like, do you feel like Auburn? I mean, I know they've Deuce Knight, I guess, would be that. I mean, quarterback feels like the big thing missing.
It is. That is a big thing missing. And then, you know, filling in some depth and trying to go after these high ranked players. And I think as the season goes on and things happen across the nation, like they did with Florida last year, Auburn was not involved with Amaris Williams and the other kid who flipped from Florida this time last year. But they did get involved and made a big push for them and eventually flipped them. Jamonte Waller was the other one. So I would expect some surprises too. It's not just the players we're talking about now. There's going to be some more kids. But I would expect that this is going to be potentially the best Auburn class in the history of Rivals recruiting rankings. They've only had one other top five class. That was 2010. And I think this has a chance to be, I mean, there's no Cam Newton necessarily in it, right, who won a national championship a few months later. But I think they're, from a depth standpoint and all the great players are getting other positions, this has the potential to be the best class they've signed since then, at the very least, and maybe the best ever in the Rivals era.
We had a question recently about the way Auburn recruited under Malzahn, and the rankings would still, the Auburn would still place high in the rankings.
Sometimes.
But sometimes there were, but if you isolated it to key positions, or if you looked at, I mean, if you looked at just offensive line or just receiver or just like there were spots where maybe Auburn falls to a little bit closer to the rest of the conference or out of the top of the conference. Do you feel like Auburn, it's not just about the overall national ranking. Do you feel like Auburn has done a good job emphasizing high value positions with this class?
I thought just offensively under Gus, they struggled to recruit. They had some really good defensive coordinators that were really organized and had some good, like Rodney Garner and the guys on that staff who were really good recruiters, and they managed to really, I think, recruit really well and produce NFL players on that side of the ball. That didn't happen enough offensively. They really hurt themselves with offensive tackle recruiting. Quarterback recruiting for most of the Malzahn era was an issue. And I would say wide receiver recruiting with just a few exceptions, right? I mean, two or three, maybe three. Yeah. But, you know, Gus was here from 2013 to 2020. Is that right? So, I mean, just not enough big play receivers in that group too. So, and I think Auburn's doing much better in those areas offensively. Gus's classes range from 7th in 2015, which was his best class, to 14th in 2017. So most of his class, he probably averaged out with the top 10 class his time here. But it did really lack in certain areas, especially offensive linemen and offensive tackles.
334-321-1390, the number to dial. That is the Drive hotline presented by our friends at Skybar. You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. We're going to take our final break of the show. We'll be back to wrap things up. You are listening to the Monday edition of The Drive.
For air, that's that is cool and clean.
And shout out to Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. Like, yes. Shout out to Uncle Keith's Red Sauce, of course. We were talking music during the commercial break. I mentioned to Brian that I'd watched Almost Famous for the first time in a while. And a great movie, although I know people who like it a lot more than I do. And I feel like it's a great movie in that has, you know, some flawed scenes in it, some pretty flawed, like I love, like, the scenes with his mom and the scenes where he's dealing with the band are out, and even the scenes where he's dealing with the magazine, with his editors in the magazine, like those feel, because of what you know about Cameron Crowe, like he lived all of that. The stuff with the Band-Aids, you know, the love story in it feels a little, a little flimsier and a little bit more contrived, you know, and not like something that he lived, but so much of that movie feels like something that Cameron Crowe, like there are scenes in that movie that you can feel Cameron Crowe lived as a young journalist writing for Rolling Stone as a kid.
As a 16-year-old, if I'm not mistaken. And the bus scene where they're singing, is it Tiny Dancer?
Tiny Dancer, yep.
That's a great scene.
And wins the Oscar for won the screenplay Oscar.
Okay.
Probably would have won more Oscars, but was not well received by audiences. Didn't really do that really? Well at the box office. Yeah, it was sort of a disappointment at the box office, and I think therefore I think that was part of the reason the Academy got a little skittish there. He also made Jerry Maguire, which is Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which is a classic. Didn't he go to high school for a year under an alias? Yes. I believe he snuck into a,
which is something that might need to be examined a little bit closer.
Well, but, you know what? It's something that we would not encourage anyone to do.
Not today.
Now,
right?
It's one of those things you used to be able to do, like when you see people in old movies smoking at the airport, right? Like, he used to be able to. Yeah, no, don't recommend it.
Not say he did anything wrong, but yeah.
Fast Times, and then of course, I would say Anything, also an outstanding Cameron Crowe movie. He's had a pretty good run over these last couple of decades. Brian,
try Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. You can buy it at Publix, at Renfro's, at Piggly Wiggly statewide and surrounding states. You can get it right here in Little Auburn, also at the Kroger's. I know I was in the Auburn Kroger's here lately and saw a big old basket full of it. So delicious salsa. Homemade, tasting, homegrown right here in the state of Alabama.
Secret family recipe, right? Old family recipe some outstanding Southern style salsa. AuburnSports.com is the website where you can find Brian Matthews and the rest of the band. Thank you so much for joining us, Brian.
Hope Bill has a great time tonight.
I imagine he will. We're going to hear all about Bill's concert adventure tomorrow, when he is back on the show. It's a Tuesday, so I think we should be talking with Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, who's also about to do Tiger Talk on Wings 94.3. Talk to Jake Crane as well on tomorrow's show. Until then, for Brian and Drew, this is Dan Peck signing off. Good night.